This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
United in reopening. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, May 21st. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
As the number of worldwide cases of coronavirus infections reached 5 million, all 50 states have now begun lifting pandemic restrictions.
Flooding in central Michigan from the Tittabawassee River has chased an estimated 10,000 people from their homes.
The Trump campaign is eager to return to its popular mega rallies, but there are logistical hurdles during the COVID-19 outbreak.
And with students off campus, it's not just colleges that are hurting from coronavirus restrictions, but also the college towns.
Not only are they contending with the slowdown that's been brought to all of us, right, in terms of businesses having to close temporarily, but a big chunk of their population just isn't there.
Justin Baer at the Wall Street Journal looks at the shock the college towns are experiencing, something they're usually immune to. A psychological milestone as the number of worldwide coronavirus infections passed 5 million earlier today, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. However, governments continue lifting pandemic lockdown orders. For example, all 50 U.S. states have now begun reopening in some form as of yesterday, with Connecticut one of the last to loosen restrictions, like with outdoor restaurant seating. Vice President Mike Pence visited Florida, which has widely reopened.
The truth is, we slowed the spread. We flattened the curve. We saved lives.
In Illinois, which ranks third among states in total of coronavirus cases with nearly 100,000, now says restaurants and bars can resume service for outdoor seating a week from tomorrow. In addition, all Illinois state parks, boating, camping, and golf courses can reopen. You can also get a haircut or a tattoo, get your nails done. Washington, D.C., however, remains under stay-at-home orders. In the U.S., the death toll has now passed 93,000. Flooding in central Michigan is being described as a 500-year event. Rising floodwaters from two dam failures left parts of the town of Midland underwater, displacing thousands of residents and spreading into a Dow chemical plant. The National Weather Service warned of life-threatening flooding as the swollen Tittabawassee River rose to historic levels. There have been no reports, though, of deaths or injuries. Some 10,000 people were evacuated through Midland County after days of heavy rain led to breaches of the Edenville and Sanford dams on Tuesday. Governor Gretchen Whitmer urged residents of low-lying areas to seek higher ground.
It is a tough time to be sure, but we are going to get through this. We know that tough times don't last, but tough people do. We have seen a community come together, and we're going to continue to do that until we get through this crisis.
Video footage of the flood zone showed high water lapping around buildings in downtown Midland, partly submerging bridges and roads. Several residents were seen kayaking through flooded streets. The Supreme Court says Congress cannot get its hands on grand jury materials from Robert Mueller's investigation of Russia's interference in the 2016 election. The justices yesterday granted an emergency request by the Trump administration to keep the materials secret while it develops a full appeal against their release. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
House Democrats on the Judiciary Committee requested redacted material from the Mueller report. The investigation found sweeping Russian interference in the 2016 presidential campaign. It did not establish that anyone from the Trump campaign conspired with Russia's efforts. Separately, Mr. Mueller declined to reach a conclusion on whether President Trump unlawfully interfered with the investigation. The Supreme Court decision means the information will likely remain shielded through Election Day. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The Judiciary Committee argues it needs the redacted material to determine whether Mr. Trump committed an impeachable offense in the course of the Mueller investigation, saying its probe is ongoing. It told the court that it had procedures in place to protect the confidentiality of the material. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Dell Technologies has special business savings right now to help you office everywhere and stay productive. Save up to 45% on desktops, laptops, and do-it-all servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10 and save on essential electronics. All with free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/small business deals.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. The Trump campaign has an order from the president. Find a way to get him back on the road and into mega rallies to re-energize his base. It's a story by Gabby Orr, White House reporter for Politico. Gabby, explain.
Yeah, the president has been itching to get back on the road for a while. And as soon as he started doing these official visits to manufacturing facilities that have been producing ventilators and personal protective equipment, he really started to feel like if it's safe to do that, it might as well be safe for him to start campaigning again. So earlier this month, he gave his campaign team a directive and basically said, I want you to figure out how to get me back on the campaign trail and how to get me back into the rallies that the president obviously he very much enjoys. There are opportunities for him to reconnect and re-energize his base. And so the Trump campaign is exploring their options and looking at maybe different locations or regional areas that have reopened where they could resume Trump rallies in the near future.
All right. So what are the hurdles, say, psychologically here or politically speaking?
I mean, it's twofold. You know, number one, there are a lot of logistical hurdles that come with planning something like this. In most parts of the country, there are still fairly strict social distancing guidelines in place that would prohibit the type of traditional Trump rally that you see on television, pre-coronavirus. Large arenas packed with thousands of people in very close proximity to the president, that's just not feasible. And so they have talked about ways of doing these outdoors. One idea that was floated a while back within the campaign was having drive-in Trump rallies, though that hasn't gotten much traction, according to campaign advisors that I've spoken with. And then, you know, politically, there's always the risk that the president, you know, puts in the time and effort to plan a rally and the night that he's supposed to, you know, drop into Florida and talk to thousands of supporters, you have unemployment numbers that are released again. And it makes for a really awkward moment where he needs to talk about an economic reopening, needs to talk about, you know, the future and what a second term would look like. But you have a reminder earlier that day that millions of people have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
So politically, there is a risk that comes with this. But the president seems eager to get back into campaigning no matter what.
We're speaking with Gabby Orr, White House reporter at Politico. Her piece is called Trump Campaign Eyes a Return to Mega Rallies. I know you point out in the story that the Trump campaign sees this as an advantage over Joe Biden holding these mega rallies. But would the president not do, or does he not like, say, what Mr. Biden does from a virtual standpoint, doing something online?
Well, the president hasn't participated in any of the virtual events so far that his own campaign has held. He's been sticking to these official visits, like I said, and sort of leaving campaign surrogates and his campaign manager and then Republican lawmakers to participate in the Facebook Lives and the Twitter events and all those things that you see the Trump campaign advertising. So far, he hasn't really shown a penchant for wanting to do sort of virtual campaigning like Joe Biden has. There's no podcast that the president has launched to help boost his reelection. That could change in the next few weeks. I was talking to a Trump campaign official who said that they are trying to get the president involved in some of these virtual campaign events. That would essentially be step one, and then step two would be to resume physical campaign events in states like Texas and Florida that have started to gradually reopen.
Is there still kind of the whisper that the daily coronavirus briefings, like he's gotten all he can out of those at this point?
I think that most people in the president's inner circle are glad that the daily briefings with his participation have ceased to exist.
Thanks, Gabby. Gabby Orr, White House reporter for Politico. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The CDC now says the coronavirus does not spread easily through touching surfaces or objects. In early March, the agency was warning that it may be possible to pass on the virus from contaminated surfaces. Its guidelines now say the virus does not spread easily on surfaces or objects. Other ways the virus doesn't spread easily as from animals to people or people to animals. The CDC continues to note the virus spreads mainly from person to person, even by those not showing symptoms.
Number two.
The CDC has quietly published a 60-page document providing guidance to businesses, restaurants, schools, and other establishments on how to reopen. It comes after the agency had released 6 one-page documents amid reports the Trump administration shelved the longer, more detailed reopening guidance for being too specific. Politico and CNN report administration officials delayed the release because of references to religious organizations that they feared were being unfairly targeted. References to faith-based groups were removed from the final 60-page document.
Number three.
A hydroelectric dam that failed to hold back floodwaters in Michigan was the target of lengthy investigations by federal regulators. The government revoked the Edenville Dam's license over safety violations 2 years before the flooding that forced 10,000 people to evacuate their homes. Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
The initial readout is that this was a known problem for a while, and that's why it's important that we do our due diligence and then we take our action.
Boyce Hydropower's history of violations lasted throughout the 14 years the company was authorized to run the nearly century-old dam. The Supreme Court has blocked Congress from receiving grand jury materials from Robert Mueller's investigation of Russia's interference in the 2016 election, likely extending the issue past November's election. The court granted an emergency request by the Trump administration to keep the material secret while it mounts a full high court appeal against their release. The NCAA Division I Council has voted to lift a moratorium on voluntary workouts by football and basketball players effective June 1st. As a growing number of college leaders express confidence that fall sports will be possible in some form. Meanwhile, Disney World in Orlando has emerged as the frontrunner to host NBA games as the league moves toward returning to the court. Orlando is expected to serve as the sole host city with a possible mid-July return to play.
All right. Speaking of the NBA, I am now through season 2 of The Last Dance, featuring the Chicago Bulls.
Only a month behind everyone else.
Okay, calm down. You haven't finished it yet. You're only through episode 8.
9 and a half.
It's 23 minutes after the hour. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for joining us. The coronavirus pandemic has turned vibrant college towns across the U.S. into vacant ones. Last weekend was supposed to be one of the busiest of the year for businesses in Blacksburg, Virginia, as parents, grandparents, and well-wishers converged on the town to celebrate the 2020 graduates of Virginia Tech University. Instead, the city of 45,000 remains quiet. Hopeful students return in the fall. Here's a deep dive from Justin Baer, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Justin, take us through this.
Not only are they contending with the slowdown that's been brought to all of us, right, in terms of businesses having to close temporarily, but a big chunk of their population just isn't there, right? So students, for the most part, left during spring break in March and haven't returned as the university switched to online classes for both the rest of the spring term and for the summer. And so the not only does that take a big chunk of the economy, do they take a big chunk of the economy with them, but there are a lot of questions really about how the fall is going to play out and when they might return. And to the extent that they can go in-person classwork, and if they do, you know, how many students come back.
Yeah. I think there was a guy who owned a couple of restaurants in your story who said something to the effect of, in spring, you got the graduations, in fall, it's football games, that's where the money's made.
Yeah, it's you know, one of the interesting things I learned was, you know, these many businesses are on a very, very easy-to-predict cycle where they have very busy periods, and the success in those stretches really helped them weather the periods where there's not a lot going on. And so for a lot of those businesses, particularly restaurants, hotels, retail shops, they really build their year around certain periods, right? So graduation being an obvious one. At a place like Virginia Tech, they have 7 home football games in the fall, and those are huge drivers of revenue for any business that is benefits with lots of people, lots of visitors being around. And so that is, it's a little unclear how that's going to play out this year.
We're speaking with Justin Baer, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. He's got a good piece entitled "Graduations and Campus Classes Canceled by Coronavirus Shock College Town Economy." Took a deep look at Blacksburg, Virginia, home of Virginia Tech University. There was somebody, too, who said in your story in so many words, it was almost unthinkable that a college town could be impacted. They seem immune from these things.
Right, right. I think if you look, and this is true for a lot of similar communities, they've been fairly insulated from, you know, sort of short-term economic slowdowns and even big secular changes.
It's Justin Baer, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Everything begins with an idea, but how do you bring it to life? If your idea requires graphic design, copywriting, web programming, or some other skill, how do you locate that help? For the talent you need at a price you can afford, the answer is Fiverr. Fiverr connects you to a network of trusted freelance talent that's worked on some of the most influential brands in the world. Fiverr talents offer hundreds of digital services that you can search by service, deadline, price, reviews, and more. With Fiverr, there are no unknowns. You'll know exactly what you're paying for upfront with no negotiation. And Fiverr's talents are proven to ensure you get the expertise you need to bring your idea to life. And when you give Fiverr a try now, you'll save. Check out Fiverr.com today and use my code Gordon to receive 10% off your first order. It's so easy. Find all the digital services you need in one place at Fiverr.com, code Gordon. Again, that's Fiverr.com and the code Gordon. Try Fiverr today.
How to stay healthy, how to find what you need, and how to tackle the economic challenges ahead. We're here for you. Every morning, you're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, May 21. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. All 50 states have now begun reopening, with restrictions most recently lifted in Connecticut. Mortgage delinquencies surged by a record 1.6 million in April. Flooding in central Michigan displaces thousands. Supreme Court denies House Democrats access to redacted material in the Mueller report. Former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen to be released from federal prison today to serve his term at home. And how some medical students are helping frontline workers outside of hospitals. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, it pays to know how to understand the basics of economic data being released these days. For example, did you know that airline travel is up 123% in just the last month? Technically, that's an accurate number. Over the 7 days ended Sunday, an average of 212,000 people went through U.S. airport security checkpoints, up from 95,000 in the week ended April 17. But of course, as Neil Irwin at the New York Times points out, that is all wrong if you know anything about the underlying reality of the air travel industry. Neil, what's happening?
So what's happening with this pandemic is all sorts of indicators are swinging in all kinds of wild directions that don't fit the normal patterns of how, whether it's economic data, corporate results, that sort of thing, move. And the worry is that you can get these gigantic percentage swings that are really sending you misleading lessons and misleading impressions about how things are actually going.
Sort of like when the bar is that low, it's really easy to step over. Stop getting so excited. Is that it, basically?
Right. So the example from the headline you just read is that air traffic in the last week is up actually 123% over a month ago, over mid-April. That sounds like a huge surge. That would be incredible. But it's actually still 96% below where things were, 91% below where things were before this crisis happened. So what happens is percentage changes can actually exaggerate and create weird distortions that are not really giving you the full picture of how the economy is changing.
Mm. It was like, well, there were four people on that flight, and then the next time it took off, there were nine, right? That's 123%
exactly.
increase or something like that. So,
exactly.
But I thought you did a good job of kind of explaining the math in that if something falls 10%, then it shoots back up 10%. That doesn't mean it's closed the gap.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the arithmetic of percentage change, which in normal times doesn't matter too much, right? You know, if something rises 3% or falls 3%, we kind of know what that means intuitively. But when you get these big swings, when something drops 96%, it creates a different kind of pattern. And that's especially important when it comes to GDP. And that's what we're going to see over the months ahead as we see what will be a disastrous second quarter number. That's the quarter now underway. It's going to end June 30th. We'll probably see a rebound in the third quarter. But if you're not careful, you can get a distorted impression of what's really happening.
Mm. We're speaking with Neil Irwin, senior economic correspondent at The New York Times. He's talking about some of the data we're seeing these days. His catchy headline is called Air Travel Surges by 123%. Beware of misleading data. How do investors digest this stuff? What do they do with it?
Well, I think the important thing is to look at how things are adjusting based on where they started, you know, where they were before the crisis, before the pandemic. We'll see this with things like, you know, retail sales numbers, revenue numbers, you know, profit margins. You know, if you see a company that has a disastrous third quarter or second quarter, and then they, you know, you see another headline that says, oh, their sales rose by 50%. Normally, if a company says their sales rose 50%, that's fantastic news. But if they had dropped 80% the previous quarter, that's actually not very good news. They're not back to being made whole. So I think it's the same applies as with what I was talking about with GDP. It's look at where things stand relative to the pre-crisis norm and assess whether they're getting, you know, all the way back to normal or still really in a deep hole, and that's going to come at a cost to their earnings and profit potential in the future.
Almost seems like in order to get an apples-to-apples comparison, do you have to look at top-line sales numbers for some of these companies in a year-over-year or month from this year compared to the same month last year?
Yeah, and of course, you know, those kind of year-on-year comparisons are always useful and a pretty standard, you know, standard issue thing in analyzing stocks and analyzing companies. But I think, you know, things are moving so fast and swinging so wildly, I think it's even more important to look in the weeds of what these numbers mean. You know, just, you know, even getting numbers from retailers this week, from Walmart and Target. And, you know, there's what's happening to foot traffic, there's what's happening to sales, there's what's happening to online sales. You know, Target today said, their online sales up 171%. Well, you know, but keep in mind that's off a very small base, but that could, you know, position them well in the future to be a bigger force in online retailing. It's so much is moving so by such wide amounts that it really takes more careful analysis to understand what's going on than normal times.
Yeah, it strikes me as a journalist like yourself who kind of digests this stuff on a regular basis almost have to put that's not a typo, by the way. However.
It's true. And, you know, again, on GDP, this second quarter number, it might be a 40% decline in second quarter GDP. Now, keep in mind, that's an annualized number, so that's kind of exaggerated compared to the actual contraction in economic activity. But still, you know, that's, you know, far, far worse than anything we saw during the Great Recession back in 2008. It's really going to be just out of this, you know, insane numbers that nobody's seen before.
Thanks, Neil. Neil Irwin from The New York Times. Hey, thanks for being with us on this Friday Eve. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's safe to say that most of us have become experts to varying degrees in the field of social isolation in recent months, and that could get you a job from NASA. NASA's putting together a team to spend 8 months living in isolation in a lab facility in Russia to research the effects of long-term isolation on astronauts and future missions to the moon and Mars. The agency said it's seeking U.S. citizens between 30 and 55 years old who speak English and Russian. A master's degree, doctoral degree, or military officer training is preferred, but they say they will consider candidates with bachelor's degrees who have, quote, relative experience, though we still might have to go through a crash course in speaking Russian first.
Mm.
So we all have a little bit of relative experience.
Yeah.
That's basically the point of
this.
So, you know, maybe we, a lot of us could probably sign up for this.
I got like 3 out of 7. I'm a U.S. citizen. I got the age right. I have a bachelor's degree. I'm shy on the master's. No doctoral. Not a military officer.
No Russian.
No Russian.
You speak other languages or have some familiarity with other languages, but not Russian. That's going to be a tough one for a lot of people.
I can curse in many European languages.
Okay.
Which is very helpful.
Yeah.
But not if I'm with Russian cosmonauts trying to get work done at the International Space Station.
See, I was very excited when I first saw this because I thought it was going to be a trip to space, like in the space station or something like that. And that I'd be up for, I think. But just going to Russia and spending time in a lab, I'm not sure.
Just be on the ground.
Yeah, that was a little less exciting.
I'm with you on that, yeah.
And we know, Gordon, our teachers always taught us to double-check our work, and here's a prime example of why that was a good lesson. A young man from England bought a birthday gift for his girlfriend. He thought he was adding a nice message to it that would make it extra special. Unfortunately, he wasn't paying close attention while placing the order, leading to an embarrassing mistake. According to news reports, Daniel Vary intended to order a gin glass with the inscription, "Happy 30th birthday, Princess. Love you millions." Instead, the glass arrived with the message, "Can we have it delivered before Monday if possible, as that's her 30th? Nice one." Daniel suspects that he mixed up the inscription with the message for the delivery driver while placing the order, which of course means that the delivery driver got a very nice, if not confusing, message as well. Fortunately, Daniel's girlfriend found the mix-up amusing instead of seeing it as a referendum on her boyfriend's lack of attention to details.
All right.
So good for him.
Thought
he seems to have got away with one here. But yeah, that is extremely funny to see that on the side of a glass.
Speaking of attention to detail, now this is getting multiple responses on Twitter to people who are teasing me now about whether the name of the show is This Morning, I'm Erica's First News. Do you think it sounds that way? I mean, am I leaving out some detail here?
I never thought it sounded that way, and I'm wondering why this is coming up now.
Right.
That's been the name of the show for, what, a decade? Something like that? How is that all of a sudden a thing?
I don't know.
Who knows why these things trend on Twitter?
Some people think there are, like, behind-the-scenes subliminal messages that I'm sending to Erica.
Yes. Look, Erica, this is your news.
Yep. I'll tell you an Erica story from college at a later date. It'll make you laugh. But in the meantime, this is not I'm Erica's First News. 13 minutes in front of the hour. Even in tough times, you want to try to look your best, even if it's just from the waist up for those video chats. So when it comes to your facial hair, Harry's has you covered, bringing you incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices, just $2 per blade. Now, when it comes to my facial hair, I'm typically a goatee guy, but lately I've been using these times of home quarantine to experiment with a full beard. This has allowed the precision trimmer blade on my Harry's razor to take center stage. I use it to make sure my new beard is looking its best. Now you can keep your face looking smooth too, or your beard looking clean, with a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. Just go to harrys.com/Gordon to order yours. And get this, to help support those who need it the most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/Gordon. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/Gordon to start shaving better today. Thanks for being with us. While many Americans have used their stimulus checks to cover basic needs such as groceries, mortgage, or rent, MarketWatch says there's evidence people are also spending the money on non-essentials like TVs, clothes, sporting goods, video games, and toys. Both Walmart and Target saw increased consumer demand for non-essential goods in mid-April as the stimulus payments from the government flowed into our bank accounts. Walmart also saw increased demand for adult-sized bikes. In addition, Apple CEO Tim Cook says the company has seen an uptick in demand for its products across the board. The different phases of the pandemic have shaped shoppers' choices. Walmart says as stay-at-home orders were enacted, parents became teachers. An overlapping trend then started emerging related to DIY and home-related activities. Consumers also bought sewing machines and bandanas to make their own face masks. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The global tally of coronavirus infections has passed 5 million, a stark milestone in the pandemic that continues to grip the world. But even as the numbers continue to rise, small signs of normalcy have emerged as governments continue lifting lockdown orders. All 50 states have begun reopening in some form as of yesterday. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper continues to encourage mask use.
The face covering is more about protecting other people from your germs in case you have the virus and just don't know it yet.
Number two.
Researchers at Harvard have immunized 25 rhesus monkeys using DNA vaccines. They took the DNA of one of the coronavirus's proteins and inserted it into vaccines, which helped the monkeys develop higher levels of antibodies, which lowered the level of the virus following exposure. Eight of the monkeys who were exposed to the virus had no detectable trace of it, while the rest had very low levels of it. The researchers call the results a breakthrough.
Number three.
President Trump stepping up his criticism of voting by mail, threatening to withhold federal funds from Michigan and Nevada over their efforts to expand the practice.
Common sense would tell you that it's massive manipulation can take place. Massive.
The president didn't provide details on the funding he was referring to. He also inaccurately said Michigan was sending out absentee ballots rather than applications. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's lashing out at critics, saying he advised President Trump to terminate the department's inspector general while denying he did so as retaliation for inquiries by the agency watchdog.
There are claims that this was for retaliation, for some investigation that the inspector general's office here was engaged in. Patently false.
Pompeo defended his recommendation to terminate the inspector, Steve Linick, saying he should have done so sooner. Linick's office had been investigating an unorthodox $8 billion arms sale to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. The Wall Street Journal says Pompeo declined to sit for an interview with the State Department's inspector general's office in that inquiry. Just how popular is the NFL? NBC's Sunday Night Football will finish as primetime's most viewed series for the ninth consecutive year as the 2019-20 TV season comes to a close. Sunday Night Football averaged 20.5 million viewers in 2019, a 5% increase over 2018.
All right. Still powerful. 6 minutes now in front of the hour.
Dell Technologies has special business savings right now to help you office everywhere and stay productive. Save up to 45% on desktops, laptops, and do-it-all servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10 and save on essential electronics. All with free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Thanks for being with us. A group of New York medical students has been volunteering their time to help those on the front lines fighting the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Gunjan Desai, a third-year medical student at Ross University, founded NYC COVID Sitters, the New York chapter of a program started in Minnesota, which provides free services for healthcare workers. Those services can include things like childcare, pet care, and running errands, even online tutoring. Fox News says for Dr. Catherine Sharbuck, a doctor at Mount Sinai Hospital, NYC COVID sitter, has been a saving grace. Dr. Sharbuck moved out of her home to protect her family 4 weeks after being assigned to work on adult COVID-19 patients, unable to help her spouse take care of their two young children. She said if it were not for NYC COVID sitters, she's not sure what her family would have done. Their volunteer at the house, by the way, has become part of the family. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.